All right. Sorry about that. Old folks not used to technology. Is emotion a bad thing? Are they bad things? Good things?
They can be.
Are they an accurate barometer?
No.
Feelings aren't facts.
I like that. According to the dictionary, emotion is a noun, a natural instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, mood, or relationships with others. She was attempting to control her emotions, instinctive or intuitive feeling as distinguished from reasoning or knowledge. Instinctive or intuitive feeling as distinguished from reasoning or knowledge. Does knowledge have anything to do with emotions? Should it?
I don't think your initial emotion, no. But if you sit and you think about how you're going to react to it, yes.
Let's look at an example. Now, is this a... Now, everybody knows that Peter and Jesus were close. Would you agree? Everybody agree that Peter and Jesus was close? Jesus was giving Peter a synopsis on what was going to happen. And what did Peter do? Peter said, hey, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I'm going to do whatever I got to do. I'm going to get in front. I'm not going to let this happen. Was that a bad thing? Marvin and I are friends. If I knew somebody was trying to hurt Marvin, I'm going to jump in front and try to stop it. Is that a bad thing?
Not for me.
Is it a bad thing? See, this is something that I have to learn, and I'm learning. This is something we really need to understand. If I saw someone fixing to hurt him, the love I have for Marvin is going to take me to a place where my adrenaline's going, and I'm going to get in front and stop it. And that's what Peter wanted to do for Jesus. Was that a wrong thing?
It wasn't wrong, but he didn't have the knowledge that God gave Jesus at the time.
So what did Jesus say?
Get behind me, ye Satan.
Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan.
Those emotions.
The Bible says out of the mouth speaks the issues of life. Out of the mouth speaks the issues of life. So you're going to say what you feel even when you don't quite understand what's really going on. He didn't understand what was really going on. There was a plan. Jesus had a plan to save the world. And Peter wanted to get in front of that plan. But Peter wasn't wrong. He was acting out of emotions. How many times have I looked back at my life as emotions got me caught up? Lose my job. Put my hands on somebody. Lose my girl. Do something stupid because I get up and speak out of what I feel of anger. See, and I'm learning today to curtail that somewhat. Somewhat. I'm getting better at it. The Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Slow to anger. How many times has something happened in your life and you just want to act out? You just want to act out because you, and according to the world and the standards of the world, you acting out right now wouldn't be a bad thing. you act according to the standards of the world, you act now wouldn't be a bad thing. But are you really in the will of God? Can you be in the will of God and following the obedience of the Lord and still be acting out of emotion?
No, because at that point we're in our flesh.
At that point, the young man said, at that point we're in our flesh. What does the word say about it? What does the word say here? Let me go through a couple of scriptures here. It's a very familiar passage of scripture here. I'm going to read. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to hear, to bear it. Wherefore, well, as far as I'm going with that, I just got married. I got married about a month and a half ago. And sometimes I don't recognize my wife. I mean, marriage is a different animal. It's a different animal. Because sometimes she comes in and she says the craziest thing, and I have an answer. I really do have an answer. See, because I work two jobs. And some nights I'm tired. You get in but my wife doesn't work and she wants company at night, which is understandable. So, without getting too far into things, I want to satisfy my wife in every way. But at times I want to go to sleep and she'll wake me up. Hey, I didn't get married to be alone. And so I tell her, I'm 90 years old. I work at a steel mill in the daytime, and I walk for miles at night. Then she'll say, you always talking about you working. And to me, this is no conundrum. To me, this is no enigma. I'm supposed to be tired. But to her, this is the strangest thing in the world. It's like the crazy. And my emotions want to tell her, if you don't shut up and lay down. But I don't do that. Because I'm learning to be, and a lot of that's for being around you guys, have taught me that you don't always say the first thing out of your mouth. Because I don't understand the whole set of circumstances to why she feels that way. And I don't need anything to push us apart. So I lay there some nights and I bite my tongue and I lay there and I grab her and I hug her and we talk or whatever. And then after about an hour, she comes around and we're okay. But I just don't quite get where this emotion is coming from. Then I had to learn something. The word of God says, out of the mouth flows the issues of the heart. Well, what does the Bible say about the heart? Pam, what does it say about the heart?
I don't have a clue.
The word says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I read that years ago, and that bugged me. That really bugged me, see, because I didn't understand even then. I didn't understand. What do you mean your heart is wicked? Do you mean there's nobody good? Nobody's got a good heart? Emotions are fickle.
Amen.
Emotions are most of the time fickle because we have learned to operate in a state of comfortability. We want to do what's comfortable. I find a woman, I remember I used to come to rehab years ago. I see some girl over there, she done cleaned up a little bit, I done cleaned up a little bit. She ain't looking bad. And all of a sudden, this just got to be my girl. She got to be my girl. And I say something to her, she smiled at me, and all now I'm in love. Yeah, I'm not on dope. I've been off dope 3 days. Feelings coming back to life. Now I'm in love. This is the girl I am going to marry. I don't even know her last name yet, but we'll figure that out in a little while. You know, I have walked out of a rehab center because they kicked the girl that I loved out. Because she got a dirty drop and she's high, and they kicked her out. And me being the chivalrous guy that I am, I'm gonna tell them they don't know what they're doing up in this place. And then of course I'm gonna go too far because my emotions are caught up in this. I have no real knowledge of who she is. I have no real knowledge of what she's going through. I don't have a place to take her. I can't buy her a soda. Hope she don't get thirsty. But I'm saying this is because I've acted out too much of my life on emotions based on something I don't know anything about. I don't even have a clue on what's going on here. But here I go. Like Humpty says, there I go, there I go, there I go. And so I have to learn these things. I can't act out on what I feel. You know, at my job. Now listen. See, and I had to learn this. Marvin taught me this. He may not know he taught me this, but Marvin, and thank you for teaching me this. Marvin taught me this. That when he taught me this out of the Word of God, that you ought not think more highly of yourself than you are. See, because they hired me in as the team coordinator out of Shamball. I'm a good team coordinator. I've taken in 3 years 400 applications. I have went from here to there to here to there to the court to here to the jail, talk to people to try to get people's lives in order. I have gone to my bank, drew out $1,000 once to loan somebody to get a car because I was acting out of what I thought I should be and should be doing. Some of that stuff God called me to do. Some of that stuff I just thought this is who I am. I need to do these things. But then when some of the people who I tried to help began to whisper about me at work, see, I wanted to fight. You know, in the back of my mind, I really wanted to fight DeJuan. I just, because I was upset. Well, why would he say that? Some girl came to work out there, and this girl had some issues to where she just gotten out of prison, and she was in prison for child neglect, where they found her baby dead in the bed. It was a rough situation, and the people were giving her a rough time. They were calling her BK and all those kind of things. Listen, if you knew who I used to be and the things I did, you'd really think, man, that's a really screwed up person. But God gave me a chance. So the people up front called me to the office and said, hey, try to make her feel welcome. You know what I mean? Because she had come up there and sent somebody home for 3 days for riding her like that. So I tried to make her feel welcome. So then the plant, the thing was around the plant that her and I were tricking. You know, some guy called me in the middle of the night in my home. I think I might have told you. He called me in the middle of the night. I'm like, hello? Hey, man, he's drunk, but he's going to minister to the minister. I said, okay, what's going on, man? Hey, man, you need to leave that girl alone at work. I said, well, which girl would this be? Now, mind you, and I'm saying this because I just want you to know where I stand on that kind of stuff. When I asked God to bring me a wife 10 years ago, and like I said, Marvin knows these things because I talk to Marvin a lot. When I asked him to bring me a wife 10 years ago, I promised him that I would hold myself and keep myself pure, hoping he'd bring me a wife kind of quick. It took God 10 years to bring me a wife. For 10 years, I stayed celibate. 10 years. That bugged me, Marvin. When they started saying things about me, trying to make it look like what I was doing was a wrong thing. And that emotion came up in me because I used to be a warrior on the street. It's like, you're alive. You couldn't talk to me any kind of way. See, I wasn't, when I first came around this program years ago, I wasn't above smushing somebody in the face at Narcotics Anonymous meetings. laugh at me, you want to smush you in the face. And I would get up and woof. It's a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I would get up and woof. But I'm not above turning tables over in here. Because my emotions, I had no control over my emotions. So when they said this, I began to think back on all the times I allowed my emotions to get me into a place that I didn't want to be. I remember those things. And then the anger began to subside. And I'm just a big softy for real. And it made me want to cry. Because these are people who I cared about. These are people who I've left work to go see about them in the court. I've left work to do different things. You know, go take them out to eat, help them buy clothes, help them pay the rent, help them do different things. And you're talking about me. I had to learn to understand that is not my issue. You cannot let your emotions take you places about someone else's issue. When Peter said what he said to Jesus, he really thought he was helping Jesus. He believed in all his heart that he was helping him. But it was the farthest thing from the truth. And then I began to understand that if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I need to be quiet long enough to let God speak to me and speak to my heart. I don't have to defend myself. See, I don't want to do anything today, Jose, without walking in the Spirit. I don't want to do anything without walking in the Spirit. I may not be perfect in the eyes of the men and the women on this earth, but I want to be perfect in the eyes of God. Now, I want to walk in the Spirit. And the Word says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I used to be a pretty good athlete. Now I was a pretty good fighter. And I enjoyed basketball, karate, football, baseball, softball, roller skating. And I also enjoyed fighting. I liked to fight. When I was younger, I liked to fight because it gave me a chance to show off. Before the fight would start, I'd be nervous in my stomach, but I was always prepared to go. You know what I mean? I was well trained, I was prepared to go. That's just lust of needing somebody to think more highly of me than I am. I'm a grandfather. Who cares if I can beat up Jose or if Jose can beat me up? Who cares if I can beat up Alejandro or he can beat me up? Who cares if I can beat up Pam or she can beat me up?
Right.
Yeah, who cares? What value does that have in my life? What value does that have in my life? I'm going to go to the halfway house. And I'm going to make the rules. You know, high school's been standing for 30 years, but I'm going to come in and make the rules. They just not running this halfway house right. I'm glad I'm here so I can show them what to do. That was my attitude. That was really my attitude. I couldn't get along with anybody because I wanted to change the way it was, my emotions. I wasn't above trying to threaten somebody, making myself in worse situations than I was. It said, for the flesh lusted against the Spirit. My emotions, the desires of my, the issues of my heart are lusting against the Spirit. Because one thing I had to learn that when I was a child, I was taught most things wrong. When the Bible says be born again, it means I had to relearn everything. My daddy, he's dead and gone. I love him with all my heart. But when I was a boy, my father taught me when you get into a fight, when he hit the ground, boy, put your feet on him. And I thought that's where it was, because that was daddy. Why would daddy tell me anything wrong? That was wrong as wrong can be. But that was in my heart. And so as things began, I had to work that thing out of there. I had to realize that when I got saved, something doesn't feel right about feeling this way. Then I began to understand what it was like to have to war in the Spirit. I began to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. So those are strongholds in my life. I was raised in the projects, came up in street gangs. Well, you fought. That's just what it was. And when emotions ran high and people, ooh, 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 they get to screaming. He gonna get him. So there you go. Well, now I'm amped up. And then when I go to jail or go to hospital or go to the hole wherever I landed, the people who amped me up aren't there. There's nobody there bleeding but me. There's nobody there with sore knuckles but me. Nobody there with bruised wrists but me. I have to learn to get in touch with my emotions and not be on such a emotional roller coaster that everything takes me up and down. I love my job, but some days I don't like it. But that's how I eat. That's how I take care of myself. Why would I go in the job and tell my boss, man, let me tell you something. No matter what he says, that can't be an option. It can't be an option, Susie. That can't be an option for me anymore. You know, Marvin and I talk sometimes, and Marvin he's training me to do some things in the right way, and sometimes they don't agree with what I feel. I have to ask myself, Lyle, you just might not be right in this situation. Be quiet long enough to take a look and see what Peter didn't see. Be still and take a look. Psalm 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I am God. So I will be exalted in the heavens and the earth. Just be still. Moses said, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. He didn't say, run out there and charge and watch the salvation of the Lord through you. No, he said, be still. And I want to encourage somebody tonight. Don't let your emotions take you somewhere you don't want to go to keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to spend. Don't do it. Emotions are fickle, and everybody has them. Sometimes you've been, I used to be in a dope house getting high, and fear is an emotion. See, when I got high, I became paranoid because I'd done a lot of wrong things. So I'd be sitting in a dope house, scared to leave and scared to stay because somebody's going to come in here looking for me, somebody that I'd done wrong, or if I go outside, they're waiting on me. You know, and like I said before, God always had a good sense of humor with me. Every dope house I'd come out, now somehow by the time I come out, there's big hedge bushes outside. They must have grew while I was in there. They weren't there when I got there. So I'm tipping through the hedge bushes. I'm high, and I'm tipping through the hedge bushes like this here. All of a sudden, God will blow a wind, and a can of rock. And it scared me half to death. An emotion. Nobody, I think it's either Proverbs 28 and 1, or Proverbs 21 and 1, it says, sin will make you flee when no man is pursuing. That's an emotion. I'm scared to death. Ain't nobody looking for me. What? I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death. Nobody's looking for me. I had to learn to walk in the Spirit. I had to learn to put myself in the hands of God and everything and trust Him. Because I understand some things. Life happens to me like it happens to everybody else. The same thing that happens to Dewan might not be what happens to me, but life is going to happen to me, Jose. And sometimes life happens to me to where tomorrow is a new normal for me. Where I can't go back. When I smashed my hand at work, first thing I did, I didn't scream out, I didn't holler. The first thing I did, the Spirit told me, make a fist. And I tried to make a fist and I couldn't move any finger. And the Lord told me then, you don't need a fist anymore. You done did that long enough. So life became a new normal for me. I couldn't let emotions run me rampant. Let me finish this verse here. It says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emotions, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Many times you get jealous over somebody. Well, he's looking at her. She's looking at him. Who? Amen. We can't let those things take us off our square. We got to understand emotions are real, but they're not accompanied with knowledge. And emotion unaccompanied with knowledge. I went to a prayer vigil the other night with a 10-point where that guy killed that lady and those three kids. And I looked at the picture of those babies. And I began to tear up. And my thoughts became really horrible toward this young man. My thoughts, Pastor, became so horrible that I even thought for just a minute, I wish I was in jail. They can come on my block. Who am I? I'm God now? It's up to me to take them. But that's because that's what I felt in my emotions. These were things I was taught all my life. I had to learn not to do that. I had to learn that young man's a soul. What he did was terrible. What he did was terrible, terribly wrong. But that young man's a soul. And I'd like to one day go into prison and minister to the young man. I would really like to do that rather than catch him on the cell block and whip him. You know? And then it talks about, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now catch this. Take this with you. This is free. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. When my wife started pestering me the other night, I wanted to say something fast. I was, get away. But I didn't. Because for fear, I might not be there tomorrow. I want this marriage to work for the long run. So sometimes, even when I'm right, I have to just hold it. Peter talks about dealing with your wife knowing. It didn't say thinking. It said knowing. It didn't say feeling. It said knowing that she's the weaker vessel. You got to give in. I'm learning these things. I lived by myself all these years. I didn't want to give in. When we were dating, she got on my nerves. I tell her, get out, go home. I can't tell her, get out and go home now. Yeah. And so I have to be able, and I don't want her, we got a big house. I don't want her going in the basement to sleep. I don't want her going to the other side of the house to sleep. I'm not going to the other side of the house to sleep. I want to sleep with my wife. I can't let emotions ruin another day for me. I was on house arrest, and I just got, this was years back, and I just got a place to stay, living on my own. And I just moved in, so time to take out the garbage. Now, I called the people, the house arrest lady, down the thing at the little booth. And some of you probably dealt with the same situations. I said, well, I just moved in. I'm done. I want to take my garbage out. Not a bad thing. Just because you're mine, and just because you're working on some issues in your life, doesn't mean everybody is. Doesn't mean everybody is. The lady told me, well, why don't you look out the door and signal somebody and see if they'll come take your garbage out? Marvin, you had kids, didn't you? How would you feel? Some guy just moved in the neighborhood, some big guy, leaning out the door calling your 12-year-old son or daughter to the door, hey, come here. How's that going to get off? Hey, come here. I'm not coming out the door because I can't come out, but I'm leaning out and I'm calling you. Hey, come here. So I told her, I said, lady, are you nuts? I said, you must don't have kids. And so she got smart with me and I got smart with her. Now, here's the thing, and I never understood this. Guys in jail don't want to fight the police. You might get one of them. If you're good, you might get two. But they can bring what you can. Believe me, they're going to get you in the end. So she started sending people to my house. Now, I just moved in. I don't want to leave my home. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to do these things. But I had to learn not to get caught up in my emotions, because I was all wrapped in my emotions. And the truth of the matter is, I could have took the garbage off the next morning on the way to work. I could have dropped at the curb. I wanted to do it when I wanted to do it. I was thinking more highly of myself than I ought. Who am I? Listen, learn to hear no. No is not something your emotions want to hear. I had to learn to hear no. And in learning to hear no, I had to learn to say no. Because emotions, when people would call me and ask me for stuff, and I put myself, you know, when my wife and I were supposed to get married last year, when we didn't, something I didn't understand because I didn't stay connected to the brothers like I should have. I think I went through a depression because I looked back at my finances and, man, I blew some money because I had stuff set up for us. And I look at my finances. I went through my books the other day and I blew some things. I owe some money out, and I'm thinking, how did I get here? How did I get here? For years, I was always on top of things. How did I get here? But my emotions allowed me to think I deserve more than I do. And then every time somebody asks me for help, here's the key. I'm a minister. I have to always say yeah. That's the craziest thing in the world, Marvin. I've got to always say yeah because I'm a preacher now. Pastor, I got to always say yeah because I'm a preacher now. And if someone figure out you got a few dollars in the bank, they're going to always develop a need. They're going to always develop a need. I ain't got a settlement. And my goodness, my phone rang for every day for about a month. you know, it's like, you know, I'm not going to be much longer, but it's like this in prison. I went to prison last time I was saved. God saved me, and I went and turned myself in. I got my life, and I went on to prison to get my... But so I was doing okay with the commissary thing. So they had these big clear bags for commissary. And I'd be walking across the yard with my big clear bags of commissary. And see, and I would order good stuff. I'd order stuff like the chocolate-covered peanuts, stuff that nobody else ordered because it costs too much. You know what I mean? And by the time I get to my locker and get my locker packed up and sit down, there would be some guy come along. Hey, Kelsall, you wouldn't happen to have a few of those chocolate-covered peanuts I can get, would you? He was watching me. He was watching my bag coming across the yard. And when you get a job, somebody's watching you. Listen, when you start to get it, when your increase comes, somebody's watching you. And then the Bible says the horse leech has what? Two sisters. Their names are Give and Give. And because now you've met the Lord and you feel okay, your emotions tell you, I must give. If someone asks, I must give. Don't let your emotions ruin your life. Pray and investigate where that emotion is coming from. Investigate where it's coming from. Let the Lord lead you and guide you into all things. And I think I finished that. It says, meekness, temperance against us there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. And that's what emotions will have you, desiring vain glory. I can beat up Jose. I can whoop him. You know something? You know the worst feeling in the world is, Alejandro, bar none? The worst feeling in the world is jumping on somebody and realize you can't whoop them when you done jumped on them. Your eyes be crying for help. Hey, they be swinging you around the room and your eyes are crying out for help and stuff. And you're scared. You're too proud to say, stop him. Get him. You get the snot kicked out you, man. And that pain glory. Look at the who cares? And then, you know, I'm going to share this and I'm going to close it up. But I've had women that since I've been saved that left me. And they weren't for me. But my pride didn't want to see him go. I would rather hold on and be in this misery than let somebody think I lost my woman. What an idiot. What an idiot. Emotions will have you doing that stupid stuff. You know you and this girl can't get along.
I didn't tell you to leave. You leave when I say no.
Yeah, you know you can't get along. Now you done moved out, or she done moved out, and you riding by her house at night, see if a car outside. Huh? And don't let a car be sitting out there. Man, you talk yourself, your emotional talk yourself anything. You be in a park and put a weapon up under your seat. And when you come out of here, I'm going to get them both. There's a movie called Unhinged. Anybody seen that movie, Unhinged? Boy, he went on there. His emotions got the best of him. If you ever want to understand what this talk is about tonight, pull up that movie, Unhinged. It's with Russell Crowe. And watch where emotions can take you even when you have no desire to go. So I want to thank you for listening. I just wanted to tell you, please, please, don't let emotions take the best of your life.